right here in Cocoa, Florida. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program today. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God. We're on Grove Street, just two blocks north of 520 and a couple of blocks west of Courtney Parkway. If you end up looking for Merit Assembly of God, there's a Pizza Hut there. We're literally two blocks west of the Pizza Hut and about two and a half blocks west of the Home Depot Plaza there on Merritt Island. And so we would love to have you visit with us. It was pretty close to 29 years ago when my wife and I moved to Brevard County. We were transferred here by I was in retail management, and they offered me a job to move to Melbourne. And I said, Australia? Because I didn't even know Melbourne, Florida existed. And we came not knowing anybody. Now we've been here 29 years. We moved here the week of Thanksgiving 29 years ago, not knowing a soul. And now it is very near and dear to our heart. We absolutely love it here. And as much as my mother would like to see us move back to Oklahoma, this is where God has called us. This is where the will of God brought us, and it never entered into our wildest thoughts or imaginations that God would have us serve in ministry here. It was, I took my wife on our honeymoon. I took her to the beach because I didn't think that we would get to the beach very frequently in ministry in the heartland of America. But here we are. We live about 6 miles from the ocean now, and it is an absolute pleasure to live here. Several years ago, I ran into a person that my dad had a retail store, and he had a customer, and they were in ministry, and they had served a little further south down the coast. And he said, when I was there, I woke up every morning and I kissed the ground, and I thanked God for calling me to Florida to minister. And a few years later, I was in the frozen land of Indiana. And I was like, I really didn't want to do anything wrong. So we are quite thankful to be here. And isn't that cool front that we had? I heard it was the coldest weather we've had in about 8 months. But isn't that refreshing? I do want to give you a little tip today that was posted on a community Facebook page that I belong to. And that is, if you have not turned your heater on yet, I try not to run the heater any more than we have to, but if you haven't run your heater yet, dust tends to build up on coils. And so this person was a fireman that made this post, said, open your windows and run your heat for about 30 minutes and burn that dust off. It'll smell like something is burning, but it's really just the dust going away. And so you want to take care of that, and so that you don't get that house filled with a burning smell. So excited about some ministry opportunities that are coming up. I will be ministering in Fiji here in several weeks. Really excited about that. My face and my voice have been to Fiji, but my actual physical body never has. I've taught video classes in a Bible school over there. And so I will be getting to meet some of the students that I taught. I will be getting to preach, being in a conference over there, and traveling to some villages where I will be able to share the word of God with people who've never heard the gospel before. I'm very, very excited about that. The invitation came, and I was praying about it. And we're talking about the will of God here, and it became evident as we went along that it was the will of God for me to go. But my flesh wasn't excited about it at all. My flesh was coming up with a whole lot of reasons. And so as I was praying about it, and it became more and more evident that God was wanting me to go on this trip, my spirit said yes before my emotions were involved. My spirit said yes before my physical and my financial investment were involved. I said yes, and I said, you know what? I'm going to let my spirit lead in this situation, and everything else is going to follow. Too many times our spirit is subjected to the desires of our flesh. That's the carnal way of living. The spiritual way to live is to live with the spiritual aspect of our nature, dictating to our mind, our will, our emotions, our physical behaviors, our financial contributions. We should be saying yes in faith to the things that God has for us to do. So as we're talking about the will of God today, I want to encourage you to let your spirit be the determining factor. Don't let fear, don't let anything deprive you from getting to the center of God's will. So today we're going to be in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, verse number 8. This is Paul writing to the Romans. It says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means, now at last, I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." So we're talking about the will of God. And the thing I wanted to point out to you here from verse number 10 is Paul made it a matter of prayer that he might, by the will of God, find a way to come and have relationship, have fellowship, and have ministry with the church in Rome. The will of God is very, very relational. You and I, we're not called to be lone rangers. We're not called to be an island unto ourselves. God places us in the body of Christ. Now, and I'm going to talk more about the reasons for this as we get on in this program. But, you know, a lot of times people look at other people as the hardship of ministry instead of realizing that people are the purpose of the ministry. There's an old saying, you know, the ministry would be a lot of fun if it wasn't for the people. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus didn't come to redeem perfect individuals. He came to redeem dead individuals, flawed individuals, people who needed a shepherd. That's who Jesus came to save. And so you and I, we need to realize how important the body of Christ is. I always get nervous whenever people start condemning the body of Christ and pointing out one flaw after another flaw after another flaw. Listen, if you find a perfect church, you've already taken your last breath. Jesus is going to present the church as the bride of Christ without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle, but that presentation hasn't happened yet. So we are still in the refining process. We are still in the cleansing process. We are still in transit here to that journey of maturity and perfection that God has for us. And when it comes to pointing out flaws, I always like to relate an incident that happened to me when I was much younger. I had a friend of mine. We were co-workers together in a small department store, Five and Dime store. And we were having one of those moments where we were teasing one another, and I made a comment about how large his nose was, and wasn't my finest moment. And his response was, "Well, I got news for you. Yours isn't exactly a small nose." And so then we had to get out the ruler, and we measured, and wouldn't you know, my nose was actually larger than his was. His was shaped different than mine was. But many times we are pointing out flaws in other people, and we're guilty of the same thing, if not something worse. So I get very unsettled and nervous when people start pointing their finger and pointing out flaw after flaw after flaw of the Bride of Christ. It makes me somewhat concerned for them, because I know how I would respond if somebody was trashing my wife. If someone was trashing my children, those two behaviors there have a way of changing my demeanor in a very quick manner, because God has given me the responsibility of being their covering. And so when it comes to the church, let's realize that instead of looking at flaws as a reason not to have relationship or not to have fellowship with someone, let's look at the reason that we do have to have fellowship. And so Paul says, look, I am praying that God will make a way in his will for me to come and have relationship with you. And that prayer was answered, although it was a very challenging and very difficult journey to get Paul to Rome. Tradition has it that that is where Nero had him shortened by just above the neck or just above his shoulders. God will make a way for you and I. You can look in the book of Acts. He arrives in Rome and he spends in quite a period of time ministering to whoever came to see him in his imprisonment. He was able to minister to them. Now, it is more than just hanging out together. The body of Christ is not just a social networking environment. The church is where ministry happens. And so I want you to listen to the heart of Paul as to why he was praying for in God's will to have an opportunity to be in Rome and minister to the church there. Listen to this. Verse number 11, "For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift." That is a complete 180 degrees opposite of what most people are in relationship for. Most people are in relationship in order to benefit themselves, to get something from the other person for themselves. But Paul said, "I am praying diligently in the will of God for him to make a way for me to come to you so that I can impart to you a spiritual gift," some spiritual gift. I'm praying that God will entrust something to me that is necessary for your spiritual maturity. Too many times we are looking to get when God is actually looking for us to come to that place where we say, I want to serve in a manner that is going to benefit these people, that is going to be beneficial to them. So it is not, you know, as the world tends to look at churches and look at preachers and say, oh, all they're interested in is the money. All they're interested in is give me this and give me that and give me that. And I will tell you that, people have concluded that you can establish a person's priorities by two things. How do they spend their time and where do they spend their money? And with that being said, I have no problem telling you that Merit Assembly of God is not in it for the getting. We are in it for the giving. The reason that I'm here on this radio program is so that I can impart a spiritual gift, a word from heaven, a thought that may provoke you into study, a testimony that will inspire you to go forth into serving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that the body of Christ from the southern extremities down around Grant and Valkyria and Malabar and down in that area all the way up into the Mims and Scottsmore area, that throughout this county, from the coast to the inland borders, that people would rise up in their community and be light into the darkness. That's why we're here. I shared with our church that, you know, our local and national and international missions is running roughly around 29% of our budget. That's where we are, because we realize that the time is short. We are in the impartation business. We don't make decisions. Well, is this going to be financially profitable or not? We want to know this. Is this going to be spiritually beneficial? We're not into spending money just to be spending money. We are saying, you know, is this going to enhance ministry, which is going to edify people? That's where we are. So Paul said, I know it is the will of God. He's going to make a way for me to come to you. And when I get there, it's going to be a blessing to you. I'm going to impart a spiritual gift to you so that you may be established, that you can be stabilized, that you could be planted in a nutritious environment, an atmosphere that is going to cause you to be rooted and grounded, stabilized, so that you can be fruitful. That's what Paul was looking for. He was looking for maturity to take place. So this last Sunday, I was preaching on the beloved of the Lord. That's one of the things that God calls us is beloved. And I'm thankful that He loves the world, but I want the love of God to be more than just something that I receive. I want it to be something that transforms me. And that thing that, and I was preaching out of the little book of Jude right back before Revelation, and I'm turning over there now so that I can share this in an appropriate manner with you. But in verse number 20, it says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are supposed to be building ourselves up. I've come across this program on one of the home improvement networks. It's kind of a country boy program. It's called Barnwood Builders. But one of the things that I've noticed is that what these guys who work together do, they have a boss, they have an owner of the company, and they all work together, and they make corny jokes and all that sort of stuff. But one of the things that I've noticed is that many times, rather than just having a client that they work for, they will come together and do something for one another. And it's something that is going to benefit the other person. And I will tell you that I think that it is a good thing when we start looking for one another's best interest. What's going to be in the best interest of you? What's going to be in the best interest of me? And I can tell you that from past staff experiences that I've been a couple of times where people would come to me and they would ask for my advice on a situation, and when I would give them my counsel, I would do it from this perspective. What does this opportunity have to, what is going to be in the best interest of this person, not what is this going to do for Merit Assembly of God, what is this going to do for me? I take myself out of the equation and give them my counsel and what is going to be in their best interest. So he says, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. And what Paul says, when I come and I minister to you so that you are going to be established, what's going to take place is you and I together are going to encourage one another. If I were to ask you this question, who's your biggest cheerleader? Who's your biggest Barnabas, the son of encouragement, that person that is there to pick you up and speak life into you when things are not going so well? Who do you have in that position in your life because you need somebody? It's true that the Holy Spirit is our comforter. It is true that God is the lifter of our head. I'm not discounting the ministry of God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for them. They're going to do their part. I don't have to wonder whether God's going to encourage you or not. But Paul was in ministry because Barnabas, the son of encouragement, had found him and said, I need you for this ministry in Antioch. And then the Holy Spirit said, I need the two of you ministering on the mission field. And I just wonder, who is your encouragement? Who's the one who believes in you? Who is the one that you get to encourage? I heard a person talk about this very recognizable name in ministry, and he said, you know, whenever he has a staff person who ministers, what he tells them, he says, you know, that has to be one of the greatest messages I have ever heard in my life. He encourages them. And then a couple of days later, he will come to them and say, you know, the next time, you know, that was a phenomenal message, but I think the next time, maybe it will only be after a couple of days where he has encouraged the person that he will begin to guide them into helping develop their speaking skills so that they will be more effective for the kingdom of God. So this year, one of my greatest cheerleaders, one of my greatest encouragers, he took a higher profile position where he is now in that stadium of saints that's described in the book of Hebrews, and he is cheering on those of us down here below. God believes in you. The devil does not believe in you. God does believe in you. And so Paul says, Romans chapter 1, verse number 12, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. So I want to ask you today, how can I bring my faith to the table in a manner that is going to benefit you, that's going to encourage you, and that's going to cause you to be established? I try and do that with some of my testimonies, not so that I'm bragging on myself, but I know that if I've dealt with those issues, then maybe other people are dealing with those issues. You know, if you want to talk about financial problems, I can tell you what it was like to try and minister and raise a family on basically a minimum wage type salary. I can talk to you about that. But I won't glorify the hardship. What I will do is I will speak faith into that situation and let you know that during those challenges, that my faith in God as my provider never stumbled in that area. It was challenged, it was strained, but it caused faith to become stronger in my life. And it's to the point that it broke the power of anxiety over my finances, and I will not go back. I refuse to go back to worrying about finances. I'm not going to do it. I just refuse. It doesn't mean that I don't have opportunity, but I'm not going to take advantage of that. The garlics and the leeks and the onions of Egypt do not compare with the taskmaster's whip of Egypt. Too many people look back into their past and they glamorize the life that they lived when they weren't under their present challenges. The children of Israel were tempted to go back whenever life got hard, but they forgot actually how hard life without Jesus is, how difficult life without God is, how abusive the enemy is to you whenever he is given the dictatorial power. We see it all the time in America. You know, people have very short memories. They forget how hard life can be. And I want to encourage you to say, so, you know, if you've got a situation in your life and you say, you know what, could you stand in faith with me? You can email us. You can send us a message on Facebook. You can mail us an envelope. You can call us and leave us a voicemail. But I want to ask you this. How can your faith also be an encouragement to us? I can tell you a few ways. Would you pray with us for souls to be saved? Would you pray with us about outreaches that are coming to Central Florida in the next period of time, that the kingdom of God will manifest in a powerful way? Would you pray for us as we minister here on the radio, that God would have his way and give us words to say that would be a timely word in due season? Would you pray for us that God would provide laborers with us in the harvest field? Would you pray for us? See, all of those things are faith, and it's not just the faith of an individual. The great thing about the body of Christ is when we all come together in faith and start believing for one another and start trying to impart spiritual gifts to one another in the will of God, all of a sudden we're going to see great things happen. I am so thankful to be in ministry here in Brevard County with you, with the pastors who preach the word in this community, who live the truth of Jesus Christ on a daily basis. I pray that today I've been able to bless you in some way. We'll see you next time right here on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could take my mistakes and the plans that